later. If he's played this 4 months away, he tends to forget things. So Parsha Zohar is laying once a year in order to keep the memory fresh. The Gemara says, but when to do it, that doesn't say in the Torah. Mechuyim v'derayis to lay Parsha Zohar once a year. But when? Says the Gemara, we do it right before Purim, the Shabbos before Purim. Because it says in Megillah, Yomim Ha'ilu Nizkorim V'Nasim. These days are remembered and performed and done. So we have to do, we want to be soymech, we want to put next to, there's a better word in English.
Juxtapose.
Yeah, to juxtapose the memory of Amalek to the Asiyah, to the doing of Amechiyas Amalek. As if to say that on Purim we do Amechiyas Amalek. And the question was posed, where on Purim do we do Amechiyas Amalek? What are we doing on Purim? We have a Suda, we listen to Megillah.
I mean, people are clapping and grogging. Yeah.
Some say, yes. when you bang out Haman's name, that's right. The Mechiyas HaMalek. And someone added, that the Zohar actually says, the HaKadosh says, that when we hit on the floor or on the stender or whatever we're banging on, at that time Haman is receiving those claps. He's getting those. So he feels it. So if you hit hard, you bang down hard with your shoe, you should realize that his arm is going right into Haman. But it's still a little bit hard for us to relate to that and to understand. So what is my asiyah? What am I doing to make Mechiyas Amalek? So in order to understand better something that we could relate to of this mitzvah, maybe just a touching, a negia, how did the whole Amalek story start? What initiated, what instigated Amalek to start up with us? Chazal say Mefurish, and Parshas B'Shalach, the Medayik from the Pesukim, when Klal Yisrael said, Hayesh Hashem b'kibbeinu oyim oyim, when they started questioning, is Hashem with us or not, v'yad v'yov v'yamalek. And Rashi brings the Chazal, the famous Moshe, to a father that was holding his son on his shoulders, and he was providing him with whatever he wanted. When the son said, I'm hungry, he got him something from the kiosk, he got him a falafel sandwich. When he said he's thirsty, he got him a drink of cola. And when he said he's feeling hot, the father fanned him just to cool him down. And then the son sees somebody. This is the way Chazal say the Moshe. Okay? Then the son sees somebody coming towards them, and he said, "Hey, did you see my father? Did you see my father?" And the father says, "Well, you don't know where I am." And the father puts his son down on the floor, on the ground, and right away a caliph comes, a dog comes, and he bites. That's the Moshe. We ask Hashem, right here, he's providing us with man, he's giving us water, he's giving us the nanei kovah, he's protecting us from everything. And we have the audacity to ask, did you see my father? Did you see Hashem? So Hashem puts us down, and then the Amalek comes. The question is, what's trying this kid? Is he normal? In the Moshe. The Moshe, what was the kid thinking? So what Chazal omits from the story is, yeah, and it's very interesting, the Chazal make an omission. They leave this out. It's a key part of the story, but they leave it out because it really doesn't need to be mentioned. And that is that in the story, in Parshas B'Shalach, right before we ask the question, Klal Yisrael went, millions of people, with hundreds of thousands of children, all very thirsty, and they went 3 days without water. That's right. Right?
You can't move. You're out. You're finished.
Sometimes at Sakat Mayim we have for like 5 hours, 6 hours. Right? Imagine being in the middle of a desert where you have no way of attaining water at all, and you're with all these children, and their mouths are parched, and they're just like, "Mommy, I'm thirsty, and there's no water," and they're crying out to Hashem, and nothing's happening. Right? That's when they asked. So then afterwards Hashem made a noise that they got the water, but it was still strange to them. If Hashem is really with us, Hayesh Hashem b'kibbein amayim. Sometimes it seems that He's not with us. So it was an honest question. And in other words, in the real Moshe, what happened was, yes, the father gave him to eat, he gave him to drink, but then the son was thirsty, and the father ignores him. He said, "Daddy," bangs on his father's head on his yarmulke, and he said, "Daddy, I'm thirsty." He just keeps marching on. "Daddy, I'm thirsty!" And he keeps watching on. So when he said to the guy coming across, "Did you see my father?" he meant that his father should hear his plea and get his father to become communicative, that his father should pay attention to him. So what's the taina? So what's the fault of Klai Yisrael? The kid was asking a fair question. He wasn't really asking. He knew that his father was holding him right then and there. But the answer is, if you saw that your father loves you, he's right now holding you on his shoulders. He's protecting you. He gave you food. He gave you shelter. He gave you water. He gave you everything you needed. And for some reason he's not giving it to you now. That doesn't mean he's not with you. That means he decided this is what you need at this particular time. Mm-hmm. Pardon me for switching historical, whatever, but when people ask the famous question we've all heard from when we were children, where was God in the Holocaust?
Yeah, right.
The answer is right there. He was right there. Hayesh Hashem b'kivayim, question, Hashem was there. Do you see the nisim that he's been doing for you for the last 2,000 years, last 3,000 years? You're questioning if Hashem was with you? Hashem is always with us. You may have a question about the Anhaga. Why is Hashem behaving with us in this form, in this fashion? We don't understand. So you don't understand. But don't say, is Hashem there or not? And when we do, then comes Amalek. Because Amalek, he is the paratype. He's the one who's how do you say it? That's right. The example of Lo Yorei Elokim. The one who doesn't believe in Hashem. The one who's totally, everyone, the whole world sees after Yitzhak Mitzrayim, everyone acknowledges, Oz Nivalu Alu Fayadim, Namag Yesh Vechadon, everyone is scared, everyone is fearful, everyone is aware of Hashem's presence, but Amalek just ignores. He ignores. If you ignore on your little level, and you say, I only recognize Hashem is with me when he's doing what I want, then Amalek comes. You as a Yid have to recognize and you have to appreciate that whatever Hashem does, He's always there for us. There are times where there's Gilui Panim, where we see the Galui, and then there's times Behester Panim. But He's always watching. The Gemara describes there was a certain dialogue that went between a certain Abikoris, a certain Min, and one of the Chachom, I forget his name, one of the Amoroi, I think it was Amoroi, and the way it was a debate in front of the king, and the way these debates work, whoever wins the debate, he is left to be alive, and one who loses the debate, he's beheaded. So this guy said that a God who forsook his people, such as yours, what tikva, what hope do you have? What hope do you have? So it says that the Chacham immediately answered, he went like this, like in front of the eyes of the goy that was the apikoyos. And the guy didn't understand what he was doing. He put his hand in front of his eyes. Didn't understand what was the... And the melech turned to the apikoyos and he said, did you understand what he was doing? He said, no. So he said to the Chacham, what did you mean to say? And the Mashal explains what he was trying to say is like this. Hashem wasn't not looking. Hashem was blocking us. How does Hashem conceal his face? Not by Hashem going like this, by Hashem going like that. Which means that we can't see him, but he sees us just the same. Mm-hmm. Hashem creates sometimes matzavim, situations in which it's hard for us to perceive his presence. That's what Hester Ponim is about. That it's hard for us to discern. When is the base of Mikdash, and we're in Eretz Yisrael, and everything is b'sholem, and everything is good, and everyone has parnasa, and everyone is healthy, so then it's very nikkur, we see Hashem is with us. But sometimes Hashem conceals himself, not because he's not looking, but he makes it difficult for us to perceive his presence. And that's when it becomes a challenge. And Hashem has that reason. We have to be able to have amunah. My daughter, I'm sure you know, went through the pigua, it was in a terrorist attack 15, 16 months ago. She got something like for her room. Someone gave her like this thing that it says, Emunah is not seeing and believing. Emunah is not seeing and believing. Mm-hmm. When you can see and it's readily discernible and obvious, that's not called Emunah. Emunah is when it's hard to see, it's hard to perceive. When you don't see and then you believe, that's Emunah. And that Be'emes is the whole story of the Megillah. The whole story of the Megillah from beginning to end is all about Hester Panim. There was no Neis Golui. If you look at each scene of the Megillah, each particular scene unto itself, you don't see Hashem, and Hashem's name doesn't appear in the Megillah. They're a Muslim, all types of Ramazan. It's all Biramiza, but it's not obvious. There was no Yitzias Mitzrayim, B'zrei Netzuyo, B'shvotim Gedoylim, there was no Kriyas Yamsuf that everyone saw, Shomayim, everything is based upon it. But at the very same time, we come to the realization that in all of that Hester, Hashem is watching us and guiding us and helping us along every move, everything that was happening was all being orchestrated, all being controlled by Hashem to bring the ultimate salvation. And that is a much deeper and greater level of Emunah. When everything is obvious, it's easy. Anyone could be a minor. What Hashem wanted from us is that, yeah, when there's no water, when they're going is rough, and Nebuchadnezzar in captivity for 525 days, I don't know, we're holding already, for such a long time, and it's taka so hard. But to believe that Hashem is in control, to believe that Hashem is watching, and to believe that Hashem is with us, no less than He is in the time of Kriyas Yamsuf, no less than the time when we have a Beis Hamikdash. That emuna, that is our asiyah, that is our mechiyas amalek. Our way of destroying amalek is by that recognition and relating to Hashem with that appreciation of His being with us in every situation. And that's what brings us to simcha. The simcha that we have experienced in Purim, it gets fashpilt, because little children and people that are not connected to Torah, they misuse the gift of simcha, and they just act behoilos, and they just act out, and they get shikr, and they just spin around and whatever, spin around themselves and doing things of frivolity, with no good reason almost. Maybe there's some ta'elas, I don't know. It's hard to believe. But the real simcha comes from within. When a person knows that whatever I'm experiencing, whatever difficulty I'm experiencing, to realize that Hashem is with me. Ki ato imodi. Shivtecho mishantecha imen achmoni. To realize that Hashem, no matter what, whether we're experiencing easy times or whether we're experiencing yimei hadin, to realize that ki ato imodi, that You are always with me. And when a person feels that he's always being cuddled, he's always in Hashem's arms and always being protected by Hashem, even at the hard times, that is what brings him to simcha. Because he knows that he's being taken care of. I'm not left alone. A Yid is never left alone. Loy Alman Yisrael. A Yid is never in a matzav of being forsaken.
In your mashal of the boy on his father's shoulders, and he's asking for the water, the father is not answering. He's thinking, okay, it's 3 minutes till the next water, and that's where I'm going. And say, so why didn't you just tell me? It only takes a second to tell me we're going, because then it would take 3 minutes and 1 second if I spend time explaining it to you. So you have to have faith. I'm taking you through the water.
Could be that it's the extra time, but could be it's also that Hashem wants us to develop an emunah which is not contingent upon having everything the way we want it to be.
Instant gratification.
Hashem wants us to develop an emunah in Him that no matter what, I don't use that word, but no matter what comes, high waters or whatever, whatever happens, to realize that Hashem is always with us, and the only way to achieve that is to go through a story of Purim, where we don't see Hashem. We don't see. We see that there's Malach HaChashveirosh, who's celebrating the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash.
Yeah.
He makes a big suda. We didn't listen to Mordechai, and we go make a And then we have this gzeira of a Haman, the Hashem, the Hargav, the Zgalai Yehudim, and it looks like there's no way out, and even Esther, we thought we could depend on, she's making a suda with none other than Achashverosh together with Haman. Everything is going against us. There's no way this is going to work. And yet, Hashem has it all worked out. He has it all planned out. We know the happy ending. But imagine going through that Vashas Maisa, and it was so dark, it was so difficult. It was so difficult. There's another aspect that goes together with this that I was thinking of a muscle in our days. Let's say when President Trump in his first
candidacy in his first presidency 4 years ago or
yeah 4 years ago let's
first,
say
first presidency
first term yeah when he first, was, term. First time when he was a president. Let's say he would have I'm just making up a story. Let's say he would have said that he wants everybody. He feels it's important for the commerce and for promoting America's ideals that everyone has to have. Everyone has to get a smartphone. That's what you know. He wants everyone. Doesn't matter. From older person, younger person, everyone should have a smartphone. And this way, everyone can be doing business. Everyone can be checking on their bank. Everyone can be checking on their investments. and everyone could be informed of all of his speeches and everything that he's saying. And then gets up, Avdoiv Landau, let's say he got up then, and he proclaimed that no, it's also for any Yid to get anything more than a phone that's anything bigger than this. Did I just turn it off? No, still going. Everyone has to have the most simple basic phone, only phone, no text, no internet, no nothing. And some of the other said, you know,
it's dangerous.
I'm saying you can go against.
Rebbe Hefsher.
With his Hefsher, right? Orlando's Hefsher, yeah. Orlando's a different Orlando, but yeah. Orlando, Shabbat Rosenblatt, we have Bamish from Bnei Brak and from Yerushalayim, we have the Badats and the Bagats, everyone's giving that Shredim, and you know, everyone's going around with their phones, and the same like Orlando, you're not living up to the, you know, you have to be with the times, and what do their Rabbanim know about politics, and what do they understand about the ways of the world, and so a lot of, you know, 18,500 people, Kielu Alavai, shall only be that amount. Well, people didn't listen to what the Godladar said. And meanwhile, so Trump gets replaced by a different president, yeah, and then he comes back a few years later, and now there's some issue that he wants Israel should do a certain thing, and Orlando says that no, we're not listening. It's something that it's no gain. We can't do that. He wants, let's say, he would say Israel should bomb with an atomic bomb. Everyone knows Israel's atomic. They should bomb Gaza. And even though there's still 56, 57 still people alive, he wants Israel bomb. And if Leonard Paskins, it's awesome. And Trump says, I'm the one who's kaveh, not some old rabbi sitting in Bnei Brak who's, you know, I'm the one who makes world decisions. And if Leonard says, no, I'm making a psak that it's also for the Medina to right? And then Trump makes it clear. So if Rav Lando does not come and apologize to me, I am sending away all of the American Jews. You know what? All the American Jews have to move into us. Imagine. All the Jews from New York and from Chicago and from Los Angeles and from Miami and from... Yeah, he wants to take care of Toronto, Canada also wants to make Toronto also, Canada also part of the United States, and Mexico, and he's going to take charge of all the Yidden have to move into the demolished us. So what would everyone say? What say? Rafael, look what you did. Look what you did. Because of your psaf, you're making that all of the Yidden have to be soivel. Because of these 56 Jews who are in captivity, for that, millions of Jews all over America, they have to move out, they have to be deported to Gaza. And if Lenda will get up and make a speech, it will be a letter on the front page of the Yatev. It's not because of what I said now. No. If you want to know why is Trump making it clear now that all you'd have to be deported, it's because 6 years ago, when I told you not to get the smartphones, you didn't listen. That's why it's happening. What would we say? I say, Lenda, come on. I mean, I already said that the Rabbanim don't know anything about politics, they don't understand like world affairs, but after they cast, are you so blinded? You don't see that, you can't read the writing on the wall, it's not obvious to you? There's nothing to do with that. That was 6 years ago, that was the first candidacy. Now we're holding in 2025, this is a new story. He just wants to set the bomb anyway, who knows if these people get alive, who knows if they'll be normal, just bomb them out, finish with us, just listen to what he's saying. He's a good leader. And even if he's not, but look what's happening, everyone's being deported. That's why, because of what happened then. And that is exactly what happened with Purim. Exactly. It wasn't 6 years before, it was 9 years before. Mordechai told everyone not to go to the Suda that Achashverosh was making, and they said, we have to be on good terms with Achashverosh. He's a king, he's helping us, he's inviting us, everything is behefsher. And like Rav Luxbaum said, and he's giving the hefsher, Mordechai himself gave the hefsher in the Suda. And the wine is going to be mavushal or whatever, however they did it. There's no problem. There's no problem. Yeah, Netzach, everything is kosher v'yosher. There's a section of the shrimp and the lobsters. But there's a section of kosher meat. Sat mehefsher. What could be wrong? Yeah. And the 18,500 Yidden didn't listen. And then 9 years later, when Haman is going through the streets and expect everyone to bow down, there's one zealous Jew by the name of Mordechai Yehudi, won't bow down to him, and he gets home and all angry, he gets red in the face, beat red in the face, and he makes a gzeir against all of the Yidden Hashem, the Hagelab and the Yehudim. says Mordechai, and you know why this is happening? You know why it's made of Zera? Nothing to do with me. It's because you didn't listen 9 years ago, and it was in the third year of Al-Khazakh Ashwesh, now it's 12 years, in the 12th year, 9 years later, then you didn't listen. Mordechai, come on, own up to the truth. Look, it's obvious that that's not right, it's obvious that it's happening because of you. And yet, once this Rebbe Zev left, the biggest naze of the story is that all the Yidden believed it, they all took it, they all accepted that. And not only did they accept it, Mordechai made a gzeira that in order to create a Yeshua, we need to have a major tshuva. And to have a tshuva, we need that everyone has to fast for 3 days and 3 nights. No eating at night. Men, women, children, for 72 hours to engage in this fast. And it happens to be, Rabbi said, that fast went over the first and second day of Pesach. Which would mean that Pesach, there was no matzah, no moror, no arba kois, no, not even charoit. They didn't eat. Yontif, zel. No eating, no kiddush, no drinking, no nothing. And they all did it. They all accepted Mordechai's plea that this is what we need to do. They all accepted that. That amunas chachomim, that is an extension of our amunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because in believing in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have to believe that Hashem, when He doesn't forsake us, He gives us chachomim that are going to guide us through this very complicated maze of this world. And that acceptance and belief in what Mordechai HaTzadik said, against what we would think is Seichel HaYosha, which is like normal, logical thinking, that is the supreme acceptance of amunah in Hashem. But Hashem gives us chachomim b'chol dor v'dor. The Kodesh Baruch already showed Adam Rishon b'chol dor v'dor shav. In every generation, there's going to be someone who's going to be the one who could be madrich Klal Yisrael and what they're supposed to be doing. And when Mordechai says what he's saying, believe it, even if it's against your quote-unquote logical thinking. And that belief and that acceptance of what Mordechai says, that was the makim apatish. That was the ultimate acceptance of Hashem's saying so, and that brought us to the Yeshua. Only through that was Chayzal Zayil Yeshua. That was the full circle. We did the Chet on the third year of Achashverosh's reign. We didn't listen to Mordechai, and we were nenef from that Suda. The way we got saved was by rectifying that, by not eating and not drinking for 3 days, and not having a Pesach. Ad kedei kach that Chacham HaVekoach la'akol dover min haTorah b'sheva al ta'asa, to uproot something from the Torah by abstaining, abstinence. And that acceptance to do that is what brought us to the Yeshua. This could help us understand how there's an avodah on Purim of Ad Lo Yoda. On Purim there's an avodah which is unlike the rest of the year. We know the Gemara says in Erevin that if a person acquires Das, in Das Kanisa Machasar, if a person has Das, what could be lacking? V'im Das Chasarta, but if you're lacking Das, you don't have knowledge, Machanisa, what could you already, a person could buy all the stocks in the world, but if he doesn't have Das, what good is he? He's worthless. He's like a behemoth. And on Purim, the avodah is Ad Lo Yoda. A person is chayv of Sumei, he has to get to a level of Simcha where he doesn't know Ad Lo Yoda bin Oron Lebov Motzeh. The Bitul Adas here, the explanation is that even though according to our Seichel, our logic, things don't seem to be working, we don't see Hashem, we don't see how what the Chachomim say makes sense to our limited capacity, it doesn't matter. Ad Lo Yoda bin Oron. We're mevatel our das. We nullify our das to the das of Hashem, to the das of His Chachomim that He has bestowed with us in every generation. That is what brings us to ultimate simcha. That Hashem, we shall be zoicha. That this Purim should be an hapechu, should taka be a Yeshua for the klal, for the prat. Every individual has his things that he's going through. That Hashem, we shall be zoicha to see the Yeshua. And we shall be zeicher to have that amunah shleim on him and the chaf meyatzer.
Amen.
Amen.
Good.